Well, I got to tell you, man. I don't know if any of you stayed up to watch it last night. It was pretty damn entertaining. And I will agree with one thing. It was really good for baseball. I don't care what anybody says. I heard A-Rod in the pregame show last night talking about the World Baseball Classic, Japan and USA. And, of course, Japan goes on to win that game 3-2. Shohei Ohtani pitches the ninth inning and strikes out his teammate, Mike Trout, to end it on a full-count slider. Could not make all that up. Captains of their teams, teammates. By the way, the Angels never win anything. They don't even go to the playoffs. They've been together 5 years, and that's the way. And it had to end that way. And, of course, I turned on early to get a little early fix on what was going on, and there's Trout and Ohtani representing their country, bringing out their flags, holding their flags of their country with the team, their teammates behind them. Kind of a cool ceremony last night they had. So there's a lot. Listen, it's an exhibition. It's not a World Series. I get it. But I got to tell you something, and a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this. That probably will be the most watched baseball game that we'll ever see. Not necessarily in this country, but 65 to 70 million people in Japan watched that game last night. And so anyway, it was pretty crazy, and a lot of stuff. Obviously, Japanese baseball is damn good. I remember when we started this thing, and we were wondering if Japanese players were going to be good enough to come over here and play, and they had the short fields at home and warning track power, and we went through the whole thing. We're not saying that anymore. We've had a lot of Japanese players come over here and have a lot of success besides their own professional baseball league that they have, that we saw a lot of those guys as well. So anyway, that was last night. The World Baseball Championship is over for a third time. It belongs to Japan since they started this thing. And so, Woody, I don't know if you had a chance to see any of it last night. I lasted about six innings, but of course it was on when I got up and got in here at 4:30 this morning. So, got to see it. Matter of fact, some of it's still going on. And Mike Trout's got that fake little smile on his face, but obviously not real happy about striking out against his teammate, who, by the way, threw it. What'd he throw? 99, 100, 101. He might have hit 102. And then he threw a slider, a friggin' 80-something mile-an-hour slider on a full count. And struck him out. So pretty crazy stuff last night. I got to admit, though, Woody, I think it was good for baseball. I don't know how much it helps. We beat this up, how much it helps the Marlins. But it's a hell of a way to kind of kick things off. And those guys were really into it, those players.
I think it was Will Manso I saw yesterday who tweeted out, like, he was trying to figure out the same thing we were trying to figure out. How does this eventually help the Marlins? And I guess you're right. It probably doesn't.
He stole it from us, Woody. There's no question.
Well, look, man, I don't know if it helps the Marlins or not, but, man, it's tough to have an event of that magnitude in your sport. And you mentioned most watched. This is, I'm guessing, is going to have World Series-type numbers.
Well,
when we get the TV numbers eventually. To me, it's just me. It felt like there was a lot of buzz around this tournament and this game.
So
maybe more so than the World Series, at least in our market, or maybe because the games are here. But
So the interesting thing, I'm not out there, so I can't speak on behalf of people your age or people my age are still friggin' grumpy. I listen to guys on TV that are my age that grumpy and don't like this thing. It's an exhibition. Guys get hurt, and like it is like stop it. Anything to help baseball, anything. Anything off the start of the season breaks up spring baseball, it's good. It's all good. There's nothing wrong. I'm sorry. Two really good baseball players got hurt out of this thing. Maybe the best closer in baseball and one of the best baseball players is going to be out for a while. But listen, man, that's just a nice way. You don't do it every year. It's a nice way to kind of kick off the season. Now, Woody, the Marlins are going to have to stand on their own, and there will not be, not once this year, will there be the excitement of the last couple of games that we saw last night. First of all, did you see the stadium? The ballpark last night, was so full of people and standing room. It looked like it made the ballpark look tiny, number one. There were just people everywhere. I call my wife, who doesn't care anything about sports, and I go, "You got to come in here." What? She comes around and I go, "Look at that." She goes, "Yeah." So look at all those people. You never see that at that ballpark. It's awesome. So I explained it to her, and she just was staring at me like, "Okay, can I go now?" I go, "Yeah, you can go." But it was wild last night, and the announcers were great. Smoltz is fantastic on the call and stuff for baseball. He's really good. I don't know if he's going to talk about the baseball guy doing the game last night. But anyway, there was a lot of good stuff and buzz, and it was good, man. It was good to have it down here. I'm guessing a lot of those guys, especially, you know, from the islands, like it here as well. It's close. And our makeup of our community with so many Venezuelans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and everything else, it was just great. There was a lot of Japanese people. I don't know how many of them lived here, but there were a lot of Japanese people at that game last night, painted up and ready to go for that show. But anyway, hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Hardest thing in sports, Woody, we talk about this all the time. I don't know if you're with me. Winning back-to-back road games last night. The Panthers playing a Flyers team that's not very good and end up losing 6-3. And still in the eighth spot, coming back home for two really good teams to play tomorrow, Toronto, and then, of course, New York's going to be in town on Saturday. And speaking of New York, as you said in the update there, the Julius Randle show continues. What a friggin' year this guy's having, man. Knicks and Heat. Another big game. By the way, the Nets lose again. We're just going to do it. Nets lose again. So the Heat are literally most likely a game away from beating Brooklyn here in their next two home games, Knicks and then Brooklyn in town, and taking care of that game and probably going to slide into that sixth spot. And honestly, the Knicks have cooled off too since that long winning streak, so we'll see what they have. But Julius Randle has been unbelievable. Eric Reed will join us later in the show. We'll talk to him. 57-point game he's fresh off of, and if you forgot, he had 43 against the Heat, including that ridiculous shot where he loses the ball and picks it up and fires a three-point shot and makes it to beat the Heat the last time they were here, not too long ago. So a lot of stuff to get to. We got a lot of football news as well that's going on this morning that we also have to get to. Great to see Andrew Van Ginkel comes back and went up to the Patriots. I think everybody thought he was going to sign. He's kind of a Belichick kind of player. And he goes, "No, I'm coming back to the Miami Dolphins." Been a really good player in the snaps that he gets. His snaps were cut back a little bit last year, but has come back to this team, and listen, it's great to have him. He's a really good player. He's you got to have some role players. You got to have some good solid backups, some guys that can fill in when guys get injured. And he's a really good player. Good on special teams, and it seems like we always talk about him blocking a punt or picking one up and making a huge play on special teams. So we'll get you caught up on who's in and who's out on the Miami Dolphins this morning. Guy I'm kind of waiting for, man, as I look at this thing, is Brandon Schell and what's going to happen with Brandon Schell. As of last night, I was looking, and it looks like he still hasn't signed. Some teams obviously interested in him because he is really good. Had 11 starts for the Miami Dolphins at right tackle and really helped him out. Did get injured at the end of the year, and I know he's in his 30s now. And that scares people sometimes, but I think they still need to grab another right tackle just to be safe after what happened with Austin Jackson last year. We got some draft stuff to cover. They're all over, and I just love this. I know Woody and I beat this up, and it's going to be a month. We're jumping on this early. I love it. Everybody's got an opinion because everybody has seen the four top quarterbacks, and actually five top quarterbacks. And of those five top quarterbacks, Four of them are SEC quarterbacks. The other one is a Big Ten quarterback in C.J. Stroud. But so everybody's seen him play. Everybody has seen they're good, probably they're bad, they're injured, a little bit of everything. But I just love everybody that does this for a living, these drafts for a living, Mel Kiper and the rest of those guys, trying to figure out by size and ability and thinking quickly and arm strength and accuracy and who's the most ready to play right now, who needs a year. Man, I got to tell you, if those guys like us were to tell the truth, and like a lot of you that like to do this and watch it and try to figure out which quarterbacks are going to be the best and which ones are going to be, you know, a bust, we'd all whiff a lot. Wouldn't just be general managers. Wouldn't just be teams, even though they're getting paid big bucks to get it right and they're supposed to be smarter than we are. It is incredible because there's going to be somebody in that group, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, that end up not being very good. End up. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a Josh Rosen bad, but because I remember how accurate and good Josh Rosen was coming out of UCLA. Weirdest, one of the weirdest dudes I've ever been around. But strange. Socially very, very awkward for that position. Very, very awkward. But, yeah, it will be very interesting to see how everybody does. I wish there was a way for everybody that opens their mouth and we ought to be able to just, like, block off information so we can go back and use it on everybody.
Well, that's why you asked me yesterday which one I like. I don't know. I mean, you really want me to pick? I don't.
C.J. Stroud.
But that's the thing. None of these guys.
Yeah, I know.
And the saddest part is the guys that are picking don't know. Like, yeah. The guys who are spending, I don't, God knows how much money to figure this thing out. They don't know.
You'd really like to just have a Joe Burrow, right, and just go slam dunk. That dude can play. You don't have to worry about him. So the problem, the one I've noticed, we haven't talked about, and we got to go to break here with these quarterbacks. The one you don't know is the one, and this has happened three or four times. You find out the guy gets his money, gets here, and his work ethic sucks. He was playing on natural talent in college, in a real simple system with a lot of talent around him, and you find out your guy's out partying every night, it's overweight, last one to meetings. We had a few of those guys, and they looked the part. Don't get me wrong. When I saw him play at LSU and Ohio State, I went, wow, what a friggin' arm. That guy can play. That guy's going to be good in late December and early January. That guy's going to be good every day of the week, And then you got to sit back and you realize he's sitting back in a perfect pocket and nobody gets the perfect pocket in this league. Nobody gets that seven Mississippis to sit back there and watch first round and second round and third round wide receivers and tight ends run around wide open. This league doesn't work that way.
You're talking about like what happens at Alabama?
Talking about Alabama, Ohio State. Yes.
Yeah, and they just sit back there and pick you apart.
So you know, and you're trying to evaluate.
So what do you want to do? You want to pick a guy from a bad school?
No, I know. No, listen, I'm with you. No, I get that, and that's the other part. So the other guy's running around.
How many times we said that's not Tua's fault? He was on a great team.
I know. It is.
He'll hold that against him now, yeah, that he's got Tyreek and Jalen Waddle.
Well, right now, at least we know Tua's got we've kind of diagnose the number one problem, right? It's pretty clear to everybody now because he can throw it. He's got accuracy.
But a lot of people said that. Oh, he was at Alabama. He had all that first.
No, you're right. That year before.
He did, by the way, have one of the sickest wide receiver rooms ever there.
They had a run
they do every year, but.
Didn't they have a run of like five first round wide receivers in 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, they've had one like every year, I think. By the way, not to mention their running game is always like really, really good.
Oh, they've been good at that position too. Yeah. Yes, they have had. Listen,
makes it a little easier on the quarterback over there.
Knicks had good players everywhere for sure. Hey, we got to go to break. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. It's been a wild time. I got to ask you before we go to break, did anybody catch? It's just awkward. I know he's a great coach. I do get that he's a really good and might be the best coach on the court that we have in Rick Pitino. But I got to tell you, he got some Pinocchio in him when he's talking. He is in total denial. He said he's made mistakes. He's made peace with his wife, and he's had to pay. And, of course, he went through the long time ago, but long time ago for me was I was doing radio sitting here talking about having sex on a recruiting trip on a table with your assistant there. One of the greatest stories I've ever heard. I just don't know how you do it.
Wasn't it under the table?
Under the table.
Yeah, you said on the table.
Oh, excuse me, under the table. Yeah, sorry.
Get your facts right, man. Come on.
No, no, but the assistant coach. Well, so the assistant coordinator, assistant coach was with him that night. Did he just kind of look away, like eating, but looking away for, I don't know, it's just a.
I don't know what he does with his programs.
He said, I'm innocent.
I'm sure he's a great on the court coach. But
oh, he is a great coach.
I don't know what it is that he's doing, but my God, does he win wherever he goes.
He does. No, listen, he is a great coach.
I don't know how he runs his programs.
Whatever he's doing in recruiting. He's
doing something out there.
He's good. And by the way, when he said yesterday he's going to get rid of this whole team and bring in a whole brand new team and they're going to win, he's dead serious because that's what his track record says. We'll take a quick break, run a little bit late, a lot of stuff to get to. Don't you go away.
Well, the one thing I want to be honest with, that a lot of players probably won't be back on this team because they're probably not a good fit for me. With me, I think my players love playing for me. Even from Mark Jackson and Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley, I spoke with Oak last night, they love playing for me with the Knicks. But it takes a certain type of basketball player to want to play for me. He's got to be a total over-the-top in love with the game of basketball. And if you're not, it's just a bad fit with me. It doesn't work. So there'll be a lot of players that will move on to, I hope, greener pastures. Joel's the type of person that I want to build around, and that's why I asked him to come today. I have to meet some of the other young men. But there'll be other guys that don't fit. It'll be a round peg in a square hole, and it won't work.
I got to tell you, that Rick Pitino interview yesterday, listening to that and then the interview Sage did on ESPN was one of the most entertaining. And I mean this, not a shot or anything else, because he was brutally honest about the fact that basically – he's going to tell almost the whole team, you're not a good fit here. The only part he left out is, I don't think you're a good enough basketball player to play for me. Has nothing to do. Listen, they all want to play, and they all want to be good, and they love playing big-time basketball that you get at St. John's. But come on.
Next time anyone gets on a player for wanting to transfer, we should play that soundbite right there.
Wow.
How's that, man?
So you know who else did that? And I was thinking while that was going on, who'd that sound like? Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Got to Colorado and said, hey, I just want to let you know, a bunch of you guys, I've had a chance with some of my coaches. You guys aren't very good. You might want to transfer. You might want to leave, free up your scholarship, because I got a bunch of good players, including some guys from the program at Jackson State that are a hell of a lot better than you guys are. Yeah.
But let's make sure we rip the kids for transferring. But when this happens, it's okay, right?
So, yeah. Woody, are we still ripping guys though for Lee? I don't think we are, man.
Well, I think fans get upset. I think fans don't
see good
the
players
big picture.
Do,
I think the next time you get ready to, you know, get upset with a kid for transferring for the, you know, second or third time or whatever, maybe take a listen back to that soundbite with Rick Pitino and see how it works from the other end.
I always love when he talks about guys who are great NBA players. It's like, I talked to those guys last night. Told them I got to clean. Yeah, I need guys like those guys. Yeah, those are really good NBA players that you coach in the NBA. That's a good one. You want to get a bunch of NBA players. So does everybody else. But he goes, yeah, it won't take long to turn around. I've turned them all around and I'll turn this one around. But I got six guys that pretty much, they need to go. This is not a good fit. What he meant to say was, they're just not good enough to play at a level that I need to win games and everything
like
else.
Like he hasn't looked, by the way. I need to take a look at what we have. Yeah, come on. You know what you have.
Anyway.
That deal was signed by the – they were still playing. I think that deal was signed for him to go over there.
Hey, Woody, the other part of this – and listen, man, I'm a big second-chance guy. I am. I say it all the time. I think of everybody out there. I know some of you have been perfect throughout your life, but I haven't. Those second chances and third chances, especially when somebody takes advantage of it and comes back and does great things in their personal life and helps others and just has a big turnaround. Everybody's got that story, right? Everybody's got that story. I was kind of an F up and kind of got it together. But the Rick Pitino thing yesterday, he's still saying, I'm innocent, man. I run a clean program. I always have. I've never cheated on the court, which he hasn't. I mean, once you get on the field, you're playing football. Now, the stuff getting there and how you got the guys there is, you know, bringing them in. I agree. So every coach could say that. Hey, I'm innocent. I did everything right on the court. And you could ask my players. And I do believe Rick Pitino is one of the best basketball coaches on the floor that there's ever been. I agree with what everybody else says. I agree. But there is this thing that's been around that I have said probably more than anything ever doing talk radio over the last 30 years. Lack of institutional control. You've heard that one with a head coach doesn't know what's going on below him. We've had it at UM through the years, right? Went through that and I had no idea this was going on. Hell, I let the guy around the program. I didn't really trust him, but and so, I mean, assistant coaches, whether it's strippers or feeding out money, and the funny part is, ironically, now with this NIL deal, you can, I guess, give everybody all the money you want, even though you're still not supposed to give it to recruits. But he was accused of all this and says, hey, listen, man, I am guilty of not knowing what was going on. You know, failure to monitor my own program, but that's on those guys, and I did not know any of that was going on. So that's the topic for me, and I listened to him yesterday, and hey, listen, man, it's over. You know, it's like the guys on steroids. To me, those guys never have come completely clean on use. Well, I did it once, you know, I tried it a couple of times and ended up having a good year, but, you know, it was overrated. So all that stuff. But I am so Rick is, you know, you should know what's going on in your program, right? This is a hands-on dude, Rick Pitino. He's one of those old school. The old school coaches are all hands-on with everything. Urban Meyer and those guys, they're hands-on with everything. They really are. I agree, man. They want to – it's the old Jimmy Johnson thing. He knows everything. Oh, well, how are you recruiting him? What are you doing? Oh, what's it? You know, he wants to know all of it from who we're recruiting, given that last scholarship to what we're doing offensively and defensively, and how we look at every position and everything else. But you still think the coaches got a pretty good idea and have people in their programs, especially when there's a red flag that's kind of floating around that coaches like to know about. Whether they sign off on it or turn their head on it or not, they like to know what's going on. I can't believe that everybody's got blinders when everything heads south on them quickly. It's kind of hard to imagine. Anyway, that was just a little part of yesterday, along with a busy, busy day. And, hey, man, I can't say it enough. I'll say it all morning. The way it started, the way it finished, I thought having the World Baseball Classic down here where the Marlins play was great. It was great. If you turned it on and got to see some of the shots of just a stuffed with people stadium, standing room, sitting, a lot of Japanese there last night, Americans, you know, still – so slowly coming around on this, but very slowly. But again, you listen to those players talking about, man, this is the biggest game I've ever played in. You're like, huh? It's the biggest game. You know, it's so different representing your country and knowing how passionate the game is for these other guys that are playing. And And I just thought the whole thing was pretty cool. The whole baseball world's still here. They'll be leaving today. But they were all there last night, man, everybody. A-Rod was part of the broadcast with Big Poppy before the game. And all the baseball insiders were there last night for everybody to I think they're all coming around. Even the ones that haven't been real big on the World Baseball Classic are slowly coming around. Doesn't hurt anything. Doesn't affect the World Series. Okay. A couple guys got injured. One will be back by before too long. The other's out for the season. But I just think it's good, man. I've seen it get better. I didn't know how it was going to be when it first started. I think living down here, I've always understood. And if you're a baseball fan, how big on certain islands baseball is. It is king. And in Japan, I think we found that out too. But anyway, we got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff to get to here as we're on the Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Smith handoff to the draft quarterbacks as everybody's looking for that one franchise quarterback. Everybody's looking to get that guy that's special in a really good system with really good players around him. But that guy, Kelly, Elway, Marino, everybody's looking for that kind of draft. And to get a guy like that that becomes either really, really good to a Hall of Famer. We'll be right back.
All right, Joe, we have some more continued good news for people here. We like
what do you got,
news.
Woody? Go ahead.
Another Joe Rose Show exclusive. Pickleball is coming to South Florida with tennis legends John McEnroe, Andre Agassi, Michael Chang, and Andy Roddick. We've got your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the inaugural Pickleball Slam April 2nd at Hard Rock Live in Hollywood. And all winners will be entered for the grand prize, tickets for two to attend the pre-tournament banquet featuring food, beverage, and a Q&A with all four legends. Keep listening to us here for your chance to win. We'll have a pair of those today.
So I wonder all four of those guys who are four great players and top-ranked guys and had long careers and everything. I wonder, I get that a lot of tennis people are now playing pickleball. I do understand it. I see it. I see more of my club people going, "Hey, Joe, have you got one of these yet?" And I go, no, the pickleball paddle. No, I'm not playing. I'm still playing singles. I'm even staying away from old people doubles on the tennis court. But they're going, no, man, you got to play. You got to play. And they are passionate people, man, for sure. So they now have four of the great tennis players, former great American players that are now playing pickleball, and they'll be here in town. If something you're interested in, a lot of seats out there for you. And, of course, we'll continue to get some winners here and give you the free treatment, which you just can't beat. I love what's coming out of last night with Shohei Ohtani, who, by the way, is by far the biggest name. And honestly, he's the best player in baseball. I don't care who they give MVP. What he does, nobody ever thought was going to happen. Nobody. Through the years, are like, and I get when you're young Johnny, everybody in their little league growing up that played baseball had that one kid that when he wasn't pitching and throwing a no-hitter or a one-hitter and striking out everybody, he was playing shortstop and hitting home runs and the best hitter. I get that. That's still going on to this day. A lot of times your best pitcher is your best player in leagues. And some of you are up this morning, oh, yeah, that was the case in my kid's league, and or my kid was that guy. So that's been going on a long time. But not at the highest level of baseball. Maybe a little bit in college. I don't know. But I know this, what he did last night. He did it again, and they kind of teased us the night before I was watching and said, hey, Ohtani could pitch at the end of the game if it's a close game to doing it. Sure enough, last night, 3-2 game, and Shohei Ohtani goes out and pitches. And this is the way it had to end. This is the way you end what has been a really fun World Baseball Classic. If you like it, if you like baseball and you like this, it's much better than spring baseball. I try to watch those spring baseball games. They're hard to watch, and they've been on a lot. Compared to that last night, felt like a World Series. It really did. So last night, Trout and Ohtani, who are teammates for the Angels and have been, I think they've been together 5 years, both bring out the flags before the game, right? So then basically they're saying, hey, the best player's got the flag and all the other players are behind him. Mike Trout, who they've been saying, you know, he's been a great player when he's healthy. And Shohei Ohtani and what he has done and the home runs he's hit that, you know, legendary already. And the fact that Heekin is one of the best pitchers in American League. He really has. A lot of strikeouts, nasty stuff, throws hard, freakish. So last night he pitches with his team leading 3-2. And after getting a double play ball, there is Mike Trout now up. And Mike Trout saw, I may be off on this, 100, missed right down the middle. 100 miles an hour, Trout misses both of them, swings through both of them. Throws a couple of pitches just off the strike zone. So he's got a 3-2 count and throws. And I'm guessing Trout had to be sitting on that 100, and he threw one 102 miles an hour that was a ball. So this guy is just breaking the radar gun. He is just cracking it. He throws some 80-something, 87-mile-an-hour slider and strikes Trout out swinging. And that's how it ends. Captains, teammates, full count, one-run lead in the ninth to win the game for your country. Nobody's better. Hey, listen, we just saw Trey Turner have one of the greatest series in the history of any tournament, this World Base. Hit another home run last night. But that guy, Shohei Ohtani, nothing against all the great players that we have, and we have a lot of good ones. We got a lot of them making a lot of money. A lot of them were playing last night. Goldschmidt, Betts, and Trout. And you can go through all the names and even guys that were had to pinch hit. Really good players. But nothing like that guy. Nothing like what he does. From his batting practices to pitching and a country that, I will tell you one thing, that game meant a hell of a lot more in Japan than it did here, which has been the case with just about everybody the United States has played. Game's not as big. Our media guys still don't sign on. We got a lot of media guys sitting there grumpy. It's an exhibition. It should be treated that way. Okay. I mean, everybody's got their own opinion. But don't tell those players that we're playing. Don't tell those players that have been playing, especially the ones that have gotten deep into this World Baseball Classic, that they've seen what it's like and how important it is to the fan base that flies over here to watch these games or goes to them and on their feet for 9 innings. And I might add a long 9 innings. But, yeah, man, that was wild last night. That was really, really fun. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope some of this bleeds into Marlins baseball somehow. I'll tell you who it's good for. The Angels. That's Angels. That's who it's good for. But Philadelphia, not bad for them. I mean, but
those markets will be fine, man.
They're fine about anyway. Those. Yeah, that's true. They'll be fine and draw a lot and everything else. But I know Woody. Everybody's got that same thing, and how's this? Does this help? I know that.
Well, what does baseball look like in 2 weeks from now? I think the season starts in, if my math serves me correct here, nine days. Nine days.
I think you're right.
Day.
I think I heard 10 days last night. 9 days.
Yeah, 9 days, 31st. Yeah. So when we hit, I don't know, 2 weeks from now, we're in the second week of April, what happens? What are we talking about here?
Once we get past the opener, well, there'll be a nice crowd. By the way, nothing like you couldn't stuff more people in a ballpark than you had last night.
Do they have logistical problems at that park, by the way? Because I keep seeing that they're making people park at Government Center and take buses over.
Woody?
I assume when they built the park, you would think they would plan for capacity.
I don't know. I can't answer that. Let's hope the Marlins.
Is that a real issue, though? Like,
no.
If the Marlins ever reached capacity, would people not
would
be
he?
Able to park at the stadium?
Can I ask you why you're bringing that up for a team that averaged 8 or 9,000 a game last year? And you bring that up. Why would you bring that up?
I like to look at every aspect of the fan experience.
Listen, the Marlins would love to have that problem that the World Baseball Classic had last night. I'm really sorry you had to park a couple miles from the ballpark and walk. But that thing
would have to be some hell of a Marlins product. Park at Government Center, take a bus.
I just don't know. I mean, we're talking about that's a huge, huge jump to get to that point. And I don't even know if they came out and played great baseball and won 3 or 4 series in a row to start the season and got off 5, 6 games over 500, 7, 8 games over 500. I mean, it'll mean a few more people. And get people talking about him, especially if a couple of guys got off to a good start with the bat. And, you know, you have one of the best pitchers in baseball in Alcantara. But, Woody, nothing is going to be like that. That was special. That was World Series. They said this is the biggest game. Some of those guys are saying this is the biggest game in baseball now, that game last night. There will be more people that watch that game. I don't know if A-Rod said it or somebody else. So it will be the most watched baseball game ever last night. Starting with Japan, 65 to 70 million people were going to watch that game. Something like 8 o'clock in the morning. We're getting up to watch that game and see how Japan did against Americans playing baseball. So anyway, we got to go to break. It was a special night. I know I've been all over it. I love it. It was great seeing some of the best players in baseball here over the last 2 weeks. If it was too much, I'm sorry, but it was special. I know the Heat tonight, it's done now. We'll switch it over just a few miles away from Marlins Park over to where the Heat are playing. And the Heat and the Knicks will be in town. Julius Randle, who is having one hell of a season. By the way, the other night on his 57 points, he was knocking threes down like they were free throws. He gets on a roll, and he is something else. But, hey, Heat need this game, about ready to overtake the Nets. We have a lot more stuff coming up. 7 o'clock hour is right around the corner. But first, I'm going to take a moment here to tell you about something that's been great for me. I like to share it as you get older. And that is Neseria Health. As you get older and you find out your energy level is down, your sex drive doesn't exist, you've noticed your belly sticking out more and more, and all you want to do is eat and sleep. And can't wait for the weekend to eat and sleep more. Well, listen, if you want to get more out of life and get some of that energy back and be more active, you can. People go, no, you can't. You're your 50s and your 60s and your 70s. You don't have to end, man. It's a lot to do down here. You want to get more out of it? I did. Put myself on a proven hormone replacement therapy program with Dr. Alex Alonzo at Neseria Health, who is really, really good in helping you achieve your goals as you get older and get your sex drive back and just feel good, have more time to walk, and just enjoy life with your kids and grandkids and everything else. I call it the fourth quarter of life. And the program that Neseria Health can put you on. And you never have to leave your house. Yeah, they're in Dade County, got a beautiful facility. But you can get your blood work done at home. Set up a Zoom call. Dr. Alex Alonzo will find out what your goals are and help you achieve them. That's bottom line. 786-305-6337. 786-305-6337. Or go to myneseria.com. to learn more, look at some of the videos of the things they're doing, and you may go, hey, that's for me. MyNuceria, NUCERIA.com. Take a look at it. If you didn't write the number down, MyNuceria.com to learn more and get more out of the fourth quarter of life with better energy and better loving.